Ladies and gentlemen, entering the podcast ring at this time, with a combined weight of 860 pounds, are the new tag team champions, the Super Size Guys. First, representing This Week in Geek and hailing from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman, Dodd.
Somebody stop the damn match!
And his podcasting partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is TFG1 Mike Blanchard. These two podcasting giants have joined forces in the World Podcasting Federation. This is Mayhem Mike's. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Thank you for that introduction, TV's Mr. Neil. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Mike the Birdman Dodd and our special guest referee, Ryan and even Flo Merkley. Hello, guys.
Yay.
Yay.
So it's been a few months.
And everyone's injured. You know what? Thank God 2015 is over and we have no injuries amongst us.
Mm.
Unlike the WWE.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just gonna run down the results. I don't even want to. I mean, I'll let you guys put your two cents in, but I don't even want to dwell on Survivor Series and tables, ladders, and chairs. For Survivor Series, we had Goldust, Titus, Neville. I don't know. Shut up. The Dudleys defeating Miz, Bo Dallas, Stardust, and The Ascension in the traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination kickoff match.
Can I just say, all right. So the whole point of Survivor Series used to be those matches, right? I mean, that used to be the main draw. Not only that, but I mean, look who was in it. Did anyone care?
Not really. It was like the New Day, King Barrett and Sheamus versus the Usos, Ryback, and who was the other guy?
Yeah, that's the main. No.
That's the main one. This was the kick.
This is the kickoff. They had two of them this year. They had two Survivor Series matches this year.
The kickoff show, they're like, hey, here's your paycheck, show up kind of match.
Yeah,
kickoff one since maybe last year's WrestleMania.
In reality, I mean, the kickoff show is a way to get the other performers on the pay-per-view and give them a paycheck. Because one of the things we've talked about before with Raw is there's so few. They have 3 hours, but they give nobody any time. There's so few wrestlers in those 3 hours that actually get to do anything. And the pay-per-views, to a certain extent, have been the opposite, where they're doing everything they can to get all these guys on pay-per-view. Like, look at the number of tag team and multiple person matches on the average. Don't use Survivor Series because that's, you know, the point of it. But I mean, look at the average WWE pay-per-view now and the sheer number of tag matches or team matches, that kind of thing, versus what it used to be. And yeah, they're trying to split the paycheck up a little more, which I guess is okay, but I don't know. Maybe give these people more time on television week to week, the non-pay-per-view stuff.
Or develop them into a storyline that we care about that doesn't just happen on Raw or actually have it continue through SmackDown.
Yeah.
Because no one watches SmackDown, which kind of sucks because I've seen some good matches on there.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit, about SmackDown. The thing about Survivor Series last year at the end of 2015 was they had this whole tournament thing leading into it. So it started out on Raw, and it's this World Heavyweight Championship tournament, whatever the hell, I don't even know. So you had a match between Reigns and Del Rio.
Which wasn't that bad.
I mean, the match was good. I liked the match, but I don't like if they're going to do the whole number one contender thing, do it on the two friggin' shows. Don't start it on Raw and then have it fit. Like, the fact that they finished this stupid shit on pay-per-view is just dumb to me.
I'm okay with that. I don't mind.
I see them as a way to draw people in.
Yeah, and I mean, the pay-per-views have changed partially because of the network, but also, I mean, the goal in the old days, regardless, was you wanted people to watch your pay-per-view. I don't have an issue with that. I do agree that the build-up and everything to the tournament was terrible. But on the opposite side of it, I would argue, you know, they didn't have a lot of choice. I mean, Rollins just kind of, like, disappeared, and because of injury, obviously. Not his fault, sorry. Not trying to blame him, but I mean...
Right.
Everything that happened with Rollins was so sudden. Yeah. I don't feel like they had a plan, obviously. I don't think they did.
They were backpedaling so fast. Yeah. It was like a bicycle going downhill into a skid.
And this destroyed their plan. And then the other issue is, and this has been one of my problems and one of the reasons I dislike Raw so much lately, Raw became the champ comes out in first segment and talks. Champ comes out at least once every hour for more talking, usually backstage. And then Champ wraps it all up in the last sort of half hour as well. Mm. And Rollins was one of the few guys that's good enough to carry them through that and do that kind of thing. They didn't have anyone else after that. And so I think they scrambled together the tournament sort of thing, and they could have segments about some of the matches, and then they could end with a big tournament match on Raw, or at least have one somewhere in the third hour as setup. And that was their way to kind of carry them through until SummerSlam, or sorry, Survivor Series. Oh God, thank God it's not carrying them through till SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, yeah.
There's no chance. But anyway, I mean, in terms of the event, yeah, it did seem the tournament and everything seemed disjointed. The matches were pretty good. I mean, we're starting off with Reigns and Del Rio.
And then you go to Ambrose and Owens.
Which has become a feud that's still going now.
I dig these guys individually. I don't necessarily mind these two going up against each other because they're both two very different characters, and I like that about it. It's better than Dean having to go up against the fucking Wyatt family, so there's that.
Yeah, because the Wyatt family feud last year never made any sense to me. Mm-mm. But with him and Owens, it makes sense, and they're both compelling enough to make it interesting. This match at Survivor Series, there were a lot of really fun spots in this one.
Well, the only thing that kind of bugs me is, for whatever reason, I don't feel like they mesh as well as they should. It feels like Owens and Ambrose should almost be match of the year kind of stuff. They both are that skilled, but for some reason...
Maybe they're not having a lot of time to practice together.
Well, I also don't think they're getting a lot of time for the matches, too.
Yeah.
Like, even this one was not a super long match. And this was a pay-per-view.
Less than 15,
Yeah, they've had longer ones since then that I feel like worked a little better, but it's still just, I don't know, given time, I think, and they have time, it's going to get better. I think this upcoming match, the next time, is going to be terrific, I mean, for the Intercontinental title. But yeah, and this one, I mean, and this was kind of weird. They let Ambrose go over Owens in this one, setting up the face versus face final with Reigns and Ambrose. And I don't know, I expected it, but it's another one of their problems is with Rollins out, they don't have a good heel anymore.
Yeah. Then you got Ryback, the Usos, and the Lucha Dragons versus the New Day, Sheamus, and King Barrett.
There were some good bits in this, but overall, who cared?
I mean, the Usos and Ryback, I think that makes a good triple threat team. But the rest...
Well, and they'll say this...
I like the Lucha Dragons, but they need to be in a match against the New Day, like against Kofi. And
also,
and the New Day needs to just get... Like, they need to get their ass together, their act together, because there can only be two champions. There is no triple champion shit here. Like Xavier and... Oh, Big E need to be the... guys in the ring.
Don't you mean Kofi and Big E? I would rather see that.
Kofi and Big E need to be the guys in the ring, the guys with the belts, and then Xavier needs to be the mouthpiece on the outside of the ring, and he only should get involved if something goes wrong for them. He should not be, like, don't get me wrong, Xavier Woods, he looks like he's a alright athletic kind of guy, whatever, but having a a triple person tag team makes zero friggin' sense.
I've always liked the sort of Freebird style. Now, Freebirds, it was just sort of like mixing it up. My favorite version of it was the Jersey Triad, or actually it wasn't called the Jersey Triad. All right. It was when it was Raven, Saturn, and Canyon in WCW. Mm-hmm. And that made sense because under Raven's rules, there was no DQ for anything. So they could swap out members. And what was the ref going to do? He can't disqualify them.
Yeah.
So it made sense, and I liked that version of it. In this one, it doesn't make sense from the rules standpoint, but hey, come on. We're talking about a thing where the ref like misses people hitting other people with chairs or turns his back for a second. And
sure. You got Charlotte versus Paige for the Divas Championship. I don't know.
It was a fairly good match. And I mean, they're both good workers, but Paige, ever since the heel turn, just hasn't necessarily worked all that well for me. And now, of course, for anyone who has been watching, Charlotte's a heel working against Becky Lynch. I think that's another division, though, that's been hurt by injuries because Sasha's out. Paige is suffering the effects of a concussion. Yeah. So all of a sudden,
no one's seen Nikki since she got defeated.
Well, that's
because she's like hurt right now, too.
Yeah. Also, who cares? I just got sick of her. But anyway, that's another
story. I like Dolph Ziggler. I've always liked Dolph Ziggler. But Tyler Breeze versus Dolph Ziggler, that match was just boring as shit.
I am so glad the Tyler Breeze push was ending.
I adore Tyler Breeze as a person. I do. Like, if you watch him on Breaking Ground, like, I've also... known about this. He's one of those examples of a guy that behind the scenes, I just love the guy because he's been a good person, but
shitty character.
Yeah, kind of. He's been a coach in NXT forever, like helping people and that kind of thing. And he's just the nicest guy and everything else. And it's taken him forever to find anything that works at all for him. And this sort of works for him. So I'm okay with them rewarding him. I mean, I'm okay with them rewarding somebody based on having a really good work ethic and trying really hard and that kind of thing versus some of the other things this is WWE. They reward guys if they're 7 feet tall and say, like, here's a title instantly. Great colleague. We know you can't wrestle and you don't work or do anything.
But... Did you guys see the oh, my God. I'll have to see if I can find this. It's on Facebook somewhere. It might be on my Facebook. And this does relate. You said 7 foot guys, and all I can think of is recently, in the last week or so before we recorded this, the Big Show showed up on Lip Sync Battle.
Oh yeah.
Oh God. All right, so we have The Undertaker and Kane versus Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. Now this is a kind, like, this is what I want to see with the Wyatt family is monster versus monster. And you had the Brothers of Destruction together again for the first time in God knows how long.
Yeah.
And the room fell silent. Yay.
Well, first of all, did anyone think that the Wyatts were going to win?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. Next.
I just enjoyed it more because Kane is done being corporate Kane and bullshit Kane, and Undertaker is done with the Brock. I love the Brock Lesnar feud, but small doses in Future Mutants. It's just one of those things where I was tired of the Undertaker Brock feud, and I needed something different. And you needed to do something with the Wyatt family other than sending them after Dean Ambrose or John Cena or Roman Reigns or whoever they pick. Santino, you just needed to do something with the Wyatt family, and I think it makes sense for monster versus monster.
Yeah, Kane and I like Kane and The Undertaker, the two guys that have been around long enough that they can kind of do whatever they want, and I think not really deserve or get any criticism, and that's okay. But I don't know, it was... I don't feel like this was a great matchup or anything. It didn't really excite me, and Yeah, there was no real stakes. Nobody thought there was a legit chance that Taker and Kane lose.
I mean, hell would freeze over if that happened. It really would. Then you had Roman versus Dean for the championship tournament finale thing. I like seeing them fight each other. I like seeing them as friends and being on the same team and all that stuff, but I thought this was pretty interesting, seeing their two styles. Because ever since The Shield debuted, what is it, 2 years ago now? Two or three? How the hell long has it been? When did they debut? Anyway, we've seen Roman and Rollins all the time. You never really see Rollins and Ambrose that much, or I don't remember seeing Rollins and Ambrose that much, or even Roman and Ambrose that much, because they're doing the storyline of that they're friends, they're buddies, and whatever else, and they're brothers. I thought this was pretty cool, even though it kind of led nowhere.
I guess. I mean, yeah, it was a solid match, too. Give credit to... give credit to Taker and Kane, because, I mean, you know, Glenn Jacobs has been working forever. It's amazing what he's managed, like, in his career and all the things he's done and everything. Granted, he's been Kane for, you know, decades now. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he had everything else. And, obviously, The Undertaker, you know, one of the greatest of all time, period. You can't even say anything more about the guy.
No. And then you have the Irish Rhinoceros coming in and stealing and becoming, cashing in, and they had to get rid of the Money in the Bank shit anyways, so
yeah, and here's,
why not do it here?
This seemed like the boring sort of safe thing for a couple of reasons. One is they wanted Reigns to have to spend some more time getting the title. Mm-hmm. And two, yeah, they had to tie up the Money in the Bank thing. But this was dumb. I mean, when's the last time Sheamus won a match?
When's the last time Sheamus was actually interesting? You know when that was?
Before
when
he got Horns... hurt.
Okay, no, not even that. Not even that.
Yeah, I would go
the
earlier.
Last time. Yeah, the last time Sheamus was actually interesting to me is when Hornswoggle was still around. And after Finley kind of left off with Hornswoggle, and Hornswoggle needed to find a new little Irish buddy to pal around with, that was the last time I found Sheamus interesting, is when he and Hornswoggle were kind of a team kind of buddy thing.
Yeah, you lost me on that, sorry. I'd go with the feud against Bryan, I thought, wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that
was sort of enjoyable, culminating in the WrestleMania match, which, when you look back at Bryan's career since then, is pretty funny. They have him lose in a few seconds, and then the next year he's winning all the titles.
I like Sheamus fighting, I think it was Christian the year before last.
Yeah, that was a solid
that I really liked. But that's also when I came into WWE. So
Sheamus has some level of talent, but he has to be used correctly, and he has to be booked really well. And not only that, but he has to be protected a certain amount, too. And he hasn't been protected in years. I mean, he's been a mid-carder for the last year or so, and he's lost most of those feuds, particularly to Orton and some of the others. Like,
the Orton-Sheamus feud, after a while, got so old. Like, some of the earlier pay-per-views in 2015, they were just throwing Orton and Sheamus in there just to have them on the
paper. And that's kind of the other issue with Sheamus, too, is he's wrestled some of these guys so many times, I just don't care about seeing it anymore. At least with Reigns, it was somebody new for him. It wasn't, you know, Sheamus versus Orton 46 or anything like that. But this didn't do anything for me. Like, the ending, I feel like most people kind of saw it coming. I didn't think they were going to leave the belt on Reigns yet, so I just had hoped they would find a more imaginative way to do it than the old, like, Reigns is the champ is celebrating, he gets hit by the challenger / Money in the Bank guy, ring the bell, pin. Not only that,
well,
but they did the whole
pull a little twist on it, so.
Well, not really, because, like, they had the ring the bell, and then, you know, he does the initial pin.
Celebration.
He does the initial pin, and it doesn't work. And that seems to happen every time. And then they hit him with their finisher again, and that's it.
Well, no, but I mean, as far as the end of the pay-per-view, they... Oh, no, that's TLC.
Yeah, you
that's
got the wrong one. This is... Yeah, the end of this pay-per-view was just the... And by the way, what the hell was up with that confetti storm? You couldn't see shit.
I was weird. That was nuts. That was just nuts.
It's weird for a company that seems to overproduce everything to screw up like that. Like, I couldn't tell who was where or what was going on. There was so much of it. That was odd. So much
confetti everywhere. So... We ended the year with tables, ladders, and chairs, and I honestly have not seen this. I do not want to see this pay-per-view.
By the way, Survivor Series gets a solid 5 out of 10 in terms of rating. Like,
I gave it maybe a 6. There was some good fun.
I don't know. It wasn't great. And by the way, for TLC, I know you're going to say you're not excited, you haven't seen it. I give it a 7 out of 10. It wasn't super compelling, like it was really predictable, but man, did everybody really work hard.
It was like an above average Raw.
Yeah.
Which we haven't had in forever. No, I mean.
You're right. No, yeah, because I'll say this, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit when we talk about SmackDown and stuff, but Raw and SmackDown for me at this point is fast forward to someone I actually want to see. Because I watch it. Yeah, I watch them the next day on Hulu.
Argue the last couple days or couple weeks of SmackDown have actually been better than Raw. Like with the move to USA, they've been trying a little harder. Yeah. And it seems.
They're going to have to make them happy. But yeah.
Yeah, and it seems less mediocre. But anyway, off to TLC.
So TLC, we start off with the kickoff match, which is a female match. It's Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch.
Should have been longer. Two really good workers, but it's nice to see Banks win. Although, of course, she got injured and has shown up lately.
The New Day defeats the Lucha Dragons and the Usos. Tag Team Championship Triple Threat Ladder Match.
There were some really good spots in this
one. Yeah, I mean, really good match. Kind of predictable.
Big E was going to die at one point.
Yeah, kind of predictable. I mean, that's the downside. Yeah. I didn't think New Day was going to lose or anything. But this is an example that I'd say this whole pay-per-view, the booking was really uninspired, but the performances were really good. And this match is one of the best examples of that. It was a very good match.
The next match, I almost want to watch the pay-per-view just to see this, because what kind of a storyline or a feud can you get out of Rusev versus Ryback? Now, don't get me wrong. I like Ryback. I think he's a really cool-looking guy. I think he's got some good moves. He's kind of that mid-level big guy kind of thing as far as, you know, his size and all that stuff. But Rusev versus Ryback, I don't know about this.
I don't remember a lot from this one at all, actually.
It was all right. But this goes back to what I was saying earlier, that the WWE, they basically, in terms of heels, they have Owens and not much else, because remember a little over a year ago, Rusev was the hottest heel in the company before the heat, before the John Cena series of matches where they absolutely buried the poor guy. Don't you think, I don't know, they could use somebody with that type of heat right now?
Yeah,
like, pretty friggin' much.
That was a mistake. And yeah, anyway, I'll get into the rest of my thought about that.
Yeah, like, there's a lot to talk about how Rusev got fucked over, but a lot of that has to do with what they've done with Lana and all the feuds that he got booked into.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
He's just not a story. He's a guy.
He's a dude. Rusev, he's a henchman.
Well, he is, yes. But Rusev, when he came out, when he debuted, he was dominant. You know, and then you put him up against John Cena, and John Cena eventually wipes the floor with him after a few matches. But it's one of those things where...
Which was a mistake. I mean, looking back, I don't think there's any way you can't call that a mistake. Like, that It's the same as Goldberg. As soon as he starts losing, what's the point?
Well, see, here's the thing. It's like, you know, they built up Rusev. Oh my God, undefeated. And he was this, you know, he didn't need a character. He didn't need a storyline. He didn't need any of that WWE writers bullshit in the beginning, because he could just come in, destroy everybody in the locker room and keep winning. And then they settled him with storyline after storyline after the Ziggler, Summer Rae, Lana, Rusev shit was
terrible.
Gone on so goddamn long.
Also a result of him losing to Cena. I mean, they booted him back down to mid cards. Like, I'm not trying to knock Cena.
No,
with this
no, I know.
That. I'm just saying. Yeah, I know. That was a mistake. I mean, if you have the meet, maybe you have them meet once, and if you really want Cena to go over, which I'd still say is a bad idea, because he's somebody that could survive a loss here or there. But
Rusev
can't.
I know. Rusev can't survive a loss. But see, here's the thing: they want to put Cena over because Cena brings in the Kid Nation.
He does, but once he's gone, which is what's happening now, and I mean, he's starting to get injured as well. You've got to think about the future, and they haven't done that in forever. That's been one of their problems. And even worse, they're building up Reigns the exact same way they did with Cena. They're just kind of burying everybody. Everybody loses to Super Reigns, and then they're going to wonder why they have nobody beyond him. I mean, they really need some of these guys.
Yeah,
like
there has to be three or four guys they can put some money behind who they got a future with.
Who would you put the title aside from Reigns, and we'll see that at the end of this pay per view? But aside from Reigns, who would you put the title on? Who's going to draw viewers and money? I don't think there's really nobody right now.
No. I think you could make an argument for Dean Ambrose. I think you could.
Yeah, but Dean is a rebel. He's not.
It's like CM Punk though in that regard.
Yeah, but he's not.
Yeah,
He is CM Punk like, but he's more of a sharper edge. Like CM Punk is a sharp edge, but Dean is even more of a sharper edge than Punk.
And
was.
I think I don't know that Dean's necessarily ready. He's close.
No, I don't think he is.
He's one of their closest ones. And by the way, you bring up a depressing thought, and that is like, how badly do they miss CM Punk in the last?
Yeah, I know, right. All right, so we got – now, I was wondering when I saw this, I'm like, who's Zeb Coulter going to go after this time? Because you got Del Rio versus Swagger for the U.S. Championship chairs match.
Speaking of guys they've literally buried for years and just trot out for a pay-per-view, it's Jack Swagger, who hasn't won a match in I don't know how long.
Like a year and a half.
Yeah, I could have seen some sort of Mexican-American feud with having Zeb needing to choose between the two who he's going to represent as his character on television, but...
I'm pretty sure the only reason they trotted Zeb out is like, well, guys, contractually he has to appear in one more thing.
it hasn't really worked or made sense or anything, really.
Well, on like some of the kind of dirt sheets, they're saying past this pay-per-view coming up, Rumble, they have no plans for like Zeb after that. So I think his contract's up and he's done for quite some time.
Who knows? And yeah, was there?
It kind of sucks because I really enjoyed Zeb Coulter's character, but I guess his health is declining, so maybe it's time for him to gracefully bow out.
Yeah, he's another guy, by the way, like, as a person, really good guy. And yeah, he's been saddled with some weird storylines and characters. Anyway, did anyone actually think Del Rio was going to lose this? I'm going to say no.
No.
Yeah,
I will
so
say this. Del Rio looks really good in the ring the last couple of pay-per-views, though.
He's solid.
That's because he's not settled with his baggage anymore.
Yeah, like, he's going out there. Like, I think you can genuinely see him wanting to have fun and really putting on a show. Like, I love watching Del Rio. Like, genuinely, he's one of my favorite guys, actually.
So then we get the Wyatt family defeating the Dudley Boys, Tommy Dreamer, and Rhino.
Speaking of matches where everyone knew who was going to win.
Don't get me wrong. I want to see the Dudleys get their 10th tag belt and all that stuff. And I like the fact that they brought back Tommy Dreamer and Rhino, but again, you need some sort of group other than old ECWs to go again. You need a different...
Not only that, but WWE in general needs younger guys, period, to step up. And they just continue...
Well, they're falling into
not.
The old WCW trap. They have just all old guys now.
And we'll get to that in a second, but I mean, Raw's continued that. Yeah. Like, hey, let's bring back Jabba Co, who hasn't won in 300 years. And by the way, Jericho is another guy who. Jericho is another guy who I think he's earned the right to come back and do what he wants, like Kane or Undertaker, if they want to. But I feel like you need a reason for the guy, and I know he likes to come back and put over younger talents, but I need to believe that there's a shot for him to do something useful. And that's kind of been the problem with him. I mean, he's jobbed to such wonderful acts as Fandango.
Yeah.
And where's the company?
Yeah, I was going to say, what the hell ever happened to Fandango?
Oh, he's still there.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. What the hell happened to Layla?
She's like pregnant and she retired, I think.
Okay.
I can't even answer those. I know Fandango's with the company, or at least I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think if they repackage it, I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. White Family One.
But, you know, on this match, though, one of the things that really pissed me off is.
Nobody lit the table on fire?
Look at how many botches Braun Strowman had.
Oh, yeah.
Go back and rewatch that. Like, there's one point where he's trying to do something with, like, Bubba Ray.
Oh, yeah.
And he fucks it up, and Bubba Ray just looks at him, and Strowman has this deer in the headlights look. Like, you know something went wrong.
And it's probably not Bubba, who's been doing this for decades.
Yeah, like,
that's the thing. Why aren't they pushing, like, why aren't they pushing the Dudley Boys as a tag team for the tag? I said this a couple of podcasts ago. The Dudleys are the resurgence of the tag team division. They need to work them.
But they're also
also pretty old, too.
Yeah, and that's the other issue. I mean, and from WWE's standpoint now, you've had all these guys get injured. Orton's out. Cena's out. I won't count Rollins in this because he's younger. But, I mean, some of your older top guys are injured, Brian. You're probably worried about the possibility that it happens with them. And their tag division is already kind of in shambles. I mean, aside from New Day, it looks like they've split the Lucha Dragons up, at least temporarily. Who knows how long that goes.
Being reformatted. So, yeah.
The Usos should be bigger than they are. I can't put my finger on what they are missing, but they're missing something.
Because they're always doing this triple... With the Usos, they're not allowing them to be a single tag team, like the whole thing, the New Day versus the Lucha.
Well, that's the WWE's, we can't think of storylines for people, so let's put 18 people in the same match. The Divas division was the best example of that over the past few months, where, hey, we don't have a story.
Everything was like a tag? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put them in like a 18-person tag match. Okay.
Yeah. Then you got Ambrose versus Owens, and yeah, I might actually watch this just to see their first kind of big match with each other, because like I said earlier, I like these two guys individually. I like seeing them go up against different people. I really dig them going against each other, because I've seen them go against each other on Raw a few times now and SmackDown, so I think this is a good move for the two of them.
This was better than the previous match one, but it was still probably a little shorter than I'd like for these two guys again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, again, yeah, I think maybe Mike was right that's probably why they haven't clicked, is that they're not necessarily getting the time that these two need to learn something really good. Yeah.
I would love to see these guys in an old-style Iron Man match. That will never happen unless catastrophic injuries come about. But I'd love to see these guys drag out for like a half hour.
What was that, and I know Owens probably isn't a guy to do this, what was that street fight that Dean had earlier this year? Who the hell was that? Earlier last year?
That means Bray Wyatt?
Was it Wyatt? I don't know. There was one of the pay-per-views in 2015, Dean and somebody else had a street fight, and Dean ends up going into... He ends up jumping in the ambulance or jumping in the fire truck or jumping in some sort of vehicle and drive. It was the one in Chicago, because he ended up, like, I really wanted to see an actual Chicago WWE street fight. I wanted to see them fighting on the street more than what they did. So
it's Luke, one of those. Yeah, he had a Luke Harper
That's what it was. It was
Chicago Street Fight match. Ambrose Luke Harper. Thank you, Google, by the way.
That's what I'd like to see with Ambrose and Owens.
That's right. And there was the Raw one that Mike's. You're both right. Bray Wyatt, Miracle on 34th Street Fight. I remember that.
Oh, God. No, I'm talking about the Chicago one.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about the Christmas crap.
Yeah, but he did have two of them. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I like seeing the two of them work together, you know, in matches. I think it's really cool.
Last man standing and stuff, I think, will be solid. And I could see the two of them. The thing with Owens and Ambrose is they've been around the indies and they've done so much over the years. They can both wrestle pretty much any gimmick match you throw at them, which is nice. Yeah. And they can both do it well. And I think, it would add something different to the pay-per-view, so... No, I think they're doing a good job with it. And I should note that when I said that SmackDown is the more watchable of the two the last couple of weeks, those two are a big reason, because that's where that feud's been happening.
Which
to me, by the way, is another sign of, you know, why Raw hasn't been great.
Well, like I said, here in a little bit, we're going to talk all about SmackDown and the ups and downs and all that stuff that's been going on with SmackDown. You get Charlotte versus Paige, which Charlotte won, obviously.
Yeah. Also, another sort of rematch from the previous, from Survivor Series, which, come on. Like, I can understand, rematch, but to just have a bunch of them on the same card,
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of liking the whole Charlotte versus Becky thing now on Raw and SmackDown and stuff. And the final match was, this is the one I was talking about earlier, it was Sheamus versus Roman with the twist at the end. Sheamus defeats Roman. And I saw the highlights of this, so that's the only reason why I'm commenting, because they, obviously, after every Sunday night pay-per-view they do, the Monday after, they give a highlight reel at the beginning of Raw. So, Triple H is out, people.
I remember just as this match ended, I was really, really pissed off. So I got up to go to the bathroom, and Blair's like, "Holy shit, he's losing his mind!" And then Roman's is literally just, if it moves, it dies. And I thought that was really great. I'm like, man, maybe they're letting him do something. Awesome.
I just wanted to say full credit to, these are two guys that I've, Sheamus I've mostly derided because of booking, but alternatively, I would say a lot of his stuff with Orton felt uninspired, or that they were just doing old stuff again. And Reigns had been fairly hard on. I still don't think he's ready, but I also think he might be one of the most ready they've got right now, sadly. And anyway, they both, man, you could tell they tried really hard in this match. This was as good a match you can expect from the two of them together. I was reasonably impressed. I'm not saying it's 5-star or match of the year or anything, but for two guys that have had a lot of less than inspiring matches, we'll say, it was quite good.
It was better than anything that was on TLC the previous year. Which isn't saying much. But
and it was
still,
definitely better than I expected.
Good. Yeah, like I really didn't expect it to be as entertaining as it was.
Yep. So I think we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the lackluster year end and almost a lackluster beginning for WWE in 2016. So we'll be back in a moment.
WWE superstar Dean Ambrose continues on the 12 Rounds franchise as he stars in his first WWE Studios film, Lockdown.
12 Rounds. What about that?
I've approached it with the attitude of like, okay, I'm learning something new every single day, but like I really want to do this the right way.
The script for Lockdown dictates that the film is primarily shot at night, and night shoots start with a hotel pickup at 3 p.m.
Time to make movie magic.
Like the tackle went into the center and the quarterback tried.
George Fremont. Why are you here, Burke?
We have an arrangement.
Yes, we did.
good having you back. You used to be Burke's partner, right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
What is that? It looks like a real credit card.
Flash drive.
Round up the boys and meet me at the precinct.
What's up?
Evidence concerning George Freeland.
He gets out of here with that card, it's over for us.
Man the exits. Make sure Shaw doesn't leave. Put the building in a lockdown.
What is happening in there?
It's Burke. He's dirty and I got the evidence. Taking you down, Burke.
I don't think so.
12 rounds. Eight rounds. Six bad guys. Look at those odds. Last round.
All right, folks, we are back here on Mayhem Mike's, and it is time to talk about SmackDown, because SmackDown is, SmackDown packed up all its belongings and left the Sci-Fi or Sci-Fi or Sci-Y network and is now on USA.
Was it originally on USA back in the 90s?
Yes, many moons ago.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's a good move to be back on.
I think it's a great move because you don't have to worry about, oh my God, what channel is SmackDown on? Because everybody that I know anyway, usually watches Raw. I don't know a lot of people outside of you guys that would watch SmackDown.
I don't always watch it either, admittedly.
I mean, I always forget about it half the time because it's back on like when it was Friday night SmackDown, I always knew, okay, this is my Friday night. That's fine. I'm ready to go. 2 hours. Let's go. Now that it's back on Thursdays, it's like I just keep forgetting. And especially with it starting, being on Thursdays still, and obviously Legends of Tomorrow is starting this next week, it's like, hey, I'll watch Legends of Tomorrow before I watch SmackDown.
Up here in Canada, because of the certain network that shows Raw and SmackDown, we see it on Wednesday night because Thursday nights are reserved for hockey. Our broadcast agreement.
Yeah, and it kind of works. It works fairly well.
Yeah, I kind of like it on Wednesday nights, actually.
I kind of miss the old... I feel like the Friday night SmackDown wasn't a bad idea either back when they had it then. I think it was in the States, too, for a period of time.
Yeah, it was Friday nights for a long time. And it was really, really cool having it on Friday nights. Now, the content of each episode is left to be desired, considering that was the era of Vicky Guerrero.
I'll talk about that in a second. I was just going to say, Thursday nights, the other issue for them is NFL. That's a problem.
It is now. Yeah, it is now.
Well, it's off now, but yeah, putting it on Thursday is weird. And by the way, you mentioned like Vicky Guerrero. Go back and watch some of that stuff because, like, first of all, they would love to have a heel that was as sort of hot as she was. And then Regal's the other one. Remember him with him with the knockout punch and how freaking hated he was. Like I went back and watched the 2002 Royal Rumble, which, by the way, was the best Royal Rumble pay-per-view I think ever, with a lot of really good matches. But I mean, watch how just absolutely despised Regal is, and he was essentially a mid-carder at that point, fighting for I think that was the Intercontinental belt. At that point, it might have been the U.S. belt, the U.S. title.
I think he was going after Intercontinental.
But yeah, it was. Man, he was hated, and his whole gimmick was essentially hiding a set of brass knuckles somewhere, either on himself or around the ring or whatever.
Right.
And how few people do the sort of heel stuff that he did. I wish more of them would do it. Owens is the closest. But, I mean, he was hated just for doing, like, absolutely basic stuff. It's kind of neat to watch. And Vicky was a bit of the same as well.
Yeah, well, what I mean about... SmackDown being bad back then with Vicky and everything else is like the whole storyline with her and Edge and getting married. Like that's when I say bad. I don't mean the actual. I mean some of the storylines and some of the cheesy, easy bullshit storylines. The change from Sci-Fi to USA Network also brings in main broadcaster Moraro, Renault, whatever the hell his name is. He's essentially a deeper toned Michael Cole. And he's a lot better than Michael Cole, but at least SmackDown actually has a real voice now.
Well, he's also he's also similar to the NXT guys in that he actually calls what's going on in the ring. It's not just it's not just talking about, hey, you know, visit the new app, or gee, what will the authority do today, or that kind of thing. They actually talk about what's going on, and it's depressing that that's refreshing now.
I would pay so much money to get JBL off of commentary on Raw.
Well, see, I'd still
argue Cole's your biggest issue. I would pay just to get the NXT team calling Raw for a week, and I'd be curious to see how that does, because, you know, they're generally not pushing stuff in the middle of the show.
All right, so let's talk about the two announced teams, the two main announced teams. You got JBL, Cole, and Saxton on Raw. First of all, I think the biggest mistake they ever made was removing Jerry from Raw and putting him on SmackDown. Like, and this is why I say that Raw is, and I think I'm right in saying this, Raw is the flagship of the television.
It is. It's considered the big one.
And, you know, and SmackDown is essentially its sloppy seconds. And I just don't think Jerry the King Lawler deserves that.
I think because they're trying to elevate it, but the problem is...
Well, they're trying to elevate it now, but they...
But
they weren't trying to elevate it last year. Like, because
they now they need to start pushing ratings.
Right.
Because with them being on USA Network, that'll decide, get renewed?
I'd also argue they're still trying to move away from the old guard. I mean, that's why they got rid of Jim Ross. They were looking to get younger and...
Yeah, but Ronaldo almost reminds me of JR a little bit, like just in the way he sounds and stuff, and the way, like you said, he's actually talking about the match.
Well, and remember, and as much as I hate to say this, but remember that Cole is their idea of the perfect announcer in that he doesn't talk about the match. They want somebody pushing the app. They want somebody talking about the
info salesman.
They want somebody talking about the last segment when it's the first segment on Raw. Like,
well, that's why you have Byron Sexton now. He can do that shit because, let's face it, like,
but that's not what they want. That's my point. They want their main guy to be selling shit, essentially.
That's true.
They're not.
What happened to Booker? What the hell happened to Booker? I mean, I liked Booker on commentary.
Booker's running his own federation. I'm not kidding. Well, reality.
As much as I like Booker, too, half the time he would go off on really bizarre tangents as well. He'd be like, "Quacky Dacky, shut duck, look at this, blah, 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 blah." Like, I mean, and hell, listening to fucking JBL, I'm pretty sure half the time he's reading off his laundry is like, Michael, blah, 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 pick up baloney. Like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about half the matches.
Well, the only time that I can understand anything JBL is saying is when he's saying, "You don't cross the boss. You don't," you know, he plays that.
He's a prize fighter, Michael.
Yeah. JBL's weird in that sometimes it feels like he plays the heel announcer perfectly, and then you're right. Other times he just goes off, and he's got his... I think part of the problem is, and this has been a WWE problem, that they don't have straight heels or faces. Like, they have too many guys who float in between, and JBL does it. Because, I mean, he'll be a heel for the entire match, and then he'll, you know, talk about how awesome Neville's finisher is.
Yeah,
like, he just bounces between them, and
never consistent week to week.
And I'm not trying to say that the audience is stupid or anything. The audience knows, like, you know, what's going on, but it doesn't make your product feel consistent or that it's being marketed consistently when you do that. So I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, like, I liked him in the beginning. But just over the past 2 years, he's really grated on me.
Yeah. So is Byron now on both?
And he's on NXT.
I'm pretty sure there's a lab somewhere of the WWE headquarters. There's just a room full of Byrons.
Yeah.
You just wheel them out whenever they need a fucking new one.
You know what's weird? The only place he seems to be pretty good on is NXT.
Because they're actually passionate about what they do. It seems like NXT, I've started watching it now, finally.
it's still really watchable. So much better shit. And you're talking about the Raw and SmackDown shows. The NXT show is still one of the best ones they put on. Like, the NXT takeovers are fantastic. Add to that, it seems like the NXT stuff is almost like... it's almost like a plague that's infecting the Raw SmackDown brand, but with talent. In that, you watch Tough Enough, and it was crap this year, let's be honest. And then watch Breaking Ground. I mean, Breaking Ground is basically what Tough Enough should have been, and 100 times better. Although it had its flaws, too. I find it really interesting, by the way, that Emma basically ended up in the doghouse because she treated some of Breaking Ground. She did some of it sort of in character slash not, you know, did some of it kayfabe, basically, and was in character and kind of treated it as another Raw or SmackDown show. And essentially, at least reports, who knows if this is 100% true, but supposedly she got in trouble because it is supposed to be the behind the curtain show. I don't know. I really enjoy it. I think I have a hard time with this because there's a lot of people that argue that there's too much behind the scenes stuff and it's taken a lot of the magic, quote unquote, out of wrestling.
Okay. But how many actual, because Breaking Ground is on the network, right?
Yes.
How many, this is a question for the audience and you guys as well. Anyone that has children that watches WWE and watches WWE Network, how many of you actually allow your children to watch Breaking Ground? Because, like, I really think the behind-the-scenes stuff is for us. It's not for kids.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's why I'm not a fan of that argument. But I understand some people have that, and I don't know.
Well, I'm just kind of wondering, like, how many adults that have children... that, you know, these adults that have kids that want their kids to like Cena or whatever, how many of them actually watch or have their children watch the behind the scenes stuff?
Because yeah, I'd rather them watch Breaking Ground over Total Divas.
Well, yeah, but that's okay. But what I'm saying is, like, with what Ryan's talking about with the behind the scenes stuff, showing the stuff of, you know, preparing the matches, preparing this and training and all this and all, like, that kind of stuff to me is for people like us that want to see that kind of behind the scenes stuff. And then, you know, you have your kids watch Raw or SmackDown or...
it's maybe for the older kids that are in high school that want to know more about it. But yeah, definitely not
younger. I could see that.
I have to agree with what you're saying, though, completely. So,
I mean, like, if I had kids, I'd only be letting them watch Raw or SmackDown. Both, but I mean, it's just one of those things.
If I had kids, they'd be living with somebody else. Oh, sorry. Anyway,
if I had kids, they'd be watching NXT.
Yeah.
If I had kids, they wouldn't be anywhere near my television. That's daddy's stuff. Go away. Oh, sorry.
So Ryan's personal problems aside, how did you guys feel as, like, the final Raw and SmackDown of the final week of 2015, how did you guys feel about the state of WWE and then coming into
shit.
The first...
Where do you start, Mike?
And then coming into the first 2 weeks, or the first two shows, the first week of 2016?
I feel like I don't... all right, I'm going to go positives first.
Oh, hang on. This ought to be fun, folks. No, but Ryan is very rarely positive.
That's not true. Anyway, the positives are I'm actually excited about Royal Rumble because, to be honest, for the first time in a while, I really feel like I don't know what's going to happen in it.
Well, yeah, you got one versus all, so.
Yeah, there's that. And I think in general, like, they've got enough. Mike and I were talking about this the other night. There's enough slots not taken. I think there will be some interesting surprise appearances and that kind of thing. And I don't mean Jericho, who's already there and been announced, but I mean, like I say, I don't know what's going to happen. I think there's going to be some surprises and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. The other positive I'd say is the one I've maintained. Now, they haven't done this, but I'm just going to say it again. With all the injuries and stuff, they have the opportunity to elevate or see what some younger guys can do. And I'm excited by that because there's got to be somebody, or there's going to be somebody who maybe we haven't paid attention to, who comes up and like sort of takes that, you know, they call it the brass ring, who's somebody who can take control of it. And, you know, maybe there turns out to be another Rollins who kind of just, they put him in a program somewhere and he elevates and does really well. And I hope that happens. And I hope they give somebody the chance to. Those are the positives. The negatives are just flat out all the injuries. I mean, what's going on with Daniel Bryan? I feel like
I haven't seen him in so long. I don't even remember he's still with the damn company.
Well, the rumors are that he's been cleared by his own physician, but the WWE physicians won't clear him, and he may end up just wrestling elsewhere, which I think would be a shame. If he's healthy. If he is not healthy, like if the WWE is correct and he could hurt himself or do irreparable damage, I never want to see anybody, you know, do that in any sport, period. Much less one that's, let's be honest, is somewhat of a predetermined sport, we'll say. it's not real. No, anyway. So, the injuries are a big, like, question mark. This is neither negative nor positive, but I wonder where they're going to go from here, too. I feel like I'm kind of excited because I don't know what's going to happen, though. Like, there's no guarantee that Cena comes back and is 100%.
Didn't I just see a news story recently where he's going through shoulder surgery? Yeah, he had shoulder surgery. WrestleMania, or is it?
He may very well miss WrestleMania. Now, this is the interesting part, is that in the past, he's healed quicker than scheduled. Mm-hmm. And he would make it back. But that's the past. He's not a young man anymore.
No.
And, you know, I'm not saying this because I want him to be injured or want him to miss anything.
Right.
But I'm saying this, you know, in the standpoint of not knowing what's going to happen and being excited about maybe somebody else doing stuff, that I don't want to see him miss WrestleMania because I don't think he deserves that. He's been, you know, he's a hard, say what you want about him, like him or not. He's a hard worker. He loves the company and he's a good, he's a good human being, period. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to see him miss it. But on the other hand, I kind of want to see what somebody else has to bring. And that's not Cena's fault. That's WWE doesn't give people things to do fault.
So, Mike, the end of 2015 and the beginning of 2016, your thoughts?
2015 was the year of mediocrity, which really sucked because I was really excited coming into 2015. Mm-hmm. Like, but it just seems like everything post-WrestleMania has been letdown after letdown after letdown. There was very few pay-per-views this year. There are two pay-per-views that stand out in my mind this year as some of the best. Elimination Chamber was way better than it had any right to be, I think. I really liked Survivor Series, despite, and TLC had a lot of heart behind it.
Yeah.
Everything else, a lot of it fell flat. And one of the problems this year, too, is because of the show Total Divas, I'm really interested in the Divas division. The Divas Revolution fell flat on its face, broke its ankle, and can't get up anymore.
No. Like, crap booking.
It's all crap booking. It all sucks. And when they wanted to wipe AJ Lee's name from the record book, that was infuriating.
It was so
Nikki
blatant.
Bella's too. Not a champion.
It was blatant and it was petty.
Yeah, like seriously, fuck off. And like
anything they can do to wipe CM Punk's name off of everything.
Yeah, and I'd like to know who Natalya pissed off.
she's been injured a lot.
A good talent.
Yeah, she's been been injured a lot, and I do think and I'm okay with this if that's what she wants. I mean, I think she's been, you know, with Tyson ever since his horrific injury. Which, that's another guy, you know, we haven't mentioned, I'm talking about injuries, by the way, one of them
Cesaro
I haven't mentioned
Tyson
at all.
Kidd.
Well, Cesaro is a huge one to me. Could you imagine if he was healthy right now? He's a guy I could see stepping into that void. He could be competing against Reigns for the title, you know, if they're going to do face versus face. Like, he's a good enough worker, and he was getting over finally, and I feel so bad for him. Like, the timing is awful. And I guess, you know, you're talking about things to be excited for. His return would be one, because I think they're finally close to trusting him enough. I would love to see him, you know, he and Owens in a feud at the top. I think it'll be great. Yeah. Anyway.
And that's the thing, too. Like, Tyson Kidd, I was really getting a feel for him. I was really starting to dig him. I mean, he still has no character to speak of, but in the ring, he's getting good.
Yeah.
Man, listening to headphones, ignoring your wife, that's not a character that's being an asshole.
Yeah, isn't that what you do whenever you're podcasting? Oh, sorry.
You're like, hey, Blair, fuck off. but, you know, there were so many things that let me down this year. There was no real compelling storyline. There was no one for me to cheer for like a Daniel Bryan. And I felt his absence this year so much more.
I think they'll be needed too, yeah. It seems like the big storyline from last year was injuries, and a lot of them are carrying over, and some of them happened late, obviously.
Yeah. Well, like, the beginning of 2016 has kind of gotten off to a nice little start.
They're going to have to challenge themselves now, because so many of the old guys are hurt.
Well, that's what I was saying, yeah. They're getting older, and I don't know that you can trust some of them anymore. I can see them like being worried about future injury.
I mean, honestly, give the Dudley Boys their championship. Let Cena tie Flair and start to put them out the pasture.
See, if they had booked it to let him tie Flair when he was fucking supposed to and not let that gray idiot... Oh, God. I don't even want to get started on that bullshit.
It's not his fault, man.
I don't care. I don't care. He's an ass. I don't care. He's an ass. For 2016, even though I'm still fast-forwarding to find certain characters that I like on Raw and SmackDown, I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm actually excited to see this one versus all Royal Rumble thing. With Triple H being out now, you know, you have father and daughter running the show, which I kind of like a little more than husband and wife, because Triple H to me, even though I know the guy is old as hell and he's pretty much retired from in-ring, I want to see him in-ring more.
Wrestle at WrestleMania, I'd guarantee it.
Well, I'm sure, you know.
You know what sucked about last year that I forgot to mention who got hurt? Sting.
Sting, yeah.
That was really unfortunate.
That's just heartbreaking from a personal standpoint. I mean, it's one of the things you always worry about when you watch any sport or anything, whether it be wrestling, football, whatever. Hell, take a look at this weekend. I mean, watch Peyton Manning. Yeah, they won. But, man, he's not even a shell of his former self.
He needs to retire.
And the last thing, you know, taking it back to Sting, and the last thing you'd want to see is him go out on a stretcher. And with Sting, that pretty much literally happened. I mean, that was scary. I didn't...
Lucky he wasn't paralyzed.
Yeah, he's very lucky.
You're right. That's one we completely forgot about that's really scary.
And the fact that it happened with Seth Rollins, and he doesn't blame Seth Rollins, but that's got to weigh on him something fierce.
Well, it's weird because Rollins is one of those guys that before this year prided himself on the fact he had never injured anybody in the ring.
Yeah, he's a safe worker.
And then he's never been injured in the ring, and both of those things sort of happened this year. And I mean, freak accidents happen all the time with wrestling. Like, watch some of the moves Rollins does, and it's a miracle guys don't get injured more often. Same with Owens. Owens has a really vicious moveset.
Those pop-up power bombs. God. I know that's not even the most vicious move he has.
No, he's got some
stuff on the edge of the mat.
There's that, and he's got some like nightmarish like neck breakers that he's taken with him that I figured would be banned. But anyway. Back to Rollins, like the turnbuckle powerbomb that he did. If you ever watch that on YouTube, watch guys like trying it in the indies and stuff. There's so many injuries. It's miraculous. It doesn't happen more. And what's weird is you watch the one he did and it looked clean. He didn't look like it necessarily would have injured him. And I don't know. It's one of those things I always worry about with The Undertaker. Like, how much does he have left? Are we going to see him get hurt?
Really don't think. We had the streak broken. Okay, we've had the war with Lesnar. We've pretty much got that all resolved. There's no one else currently in WWE that can really match with Taker, and I really think they need to just let him retire.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder who.
I mean, they've already had him lose his streak. I could see if he had kept winning, I could see. But they really just need to let him retire and let him not well, necessarily.
His last match against Lesnar was really good.
It was. But like Ryan said, what else are you gonna do? With like, Taker has done in 25, 26 years now. The man has done everything. He's faced everybody.
Well, as much as I hate to say it, the only option for him left is to, and I don't like saying this, I hope it doesn't happen, but the only option left if they want to keep him around is he becomes sort of a Jericho guy and he puts over younger guys.
Yeah, no, I don't want to ever see that happen.
No, because I'm not saying it should. I'm just saying that's one of the only things left if they keep him around.
That's true.
But I don't think they'll ever do that because there's a difference in the characters. Jericho's character is he's loud, brash, and out there, and he's outspoken. Taker, the whole point of his character is he is the epitome of the strong, silent type.
But that's,
I mean, half the time, all he's doing is, you know, the cut to the throat.
But
you know, when he talks, how often? I want you guys to go back between now and the next time we do one of these. I want you guys to go back and watch every major Taker thing that happened in 2015 and tell me how many times he actually talked.
Yeah.
It's got to be at least five or less.
But that's the issue. I mean, so, okay, you bring him back. He has another match at Raw. Or, sorry, Raw. Whoops. Mm-hmm. He has another match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So what happens? Like, your choices are limited here. You either have him put somebody over, because let's be honest, how much more time is there left in his career? Or B, you're putting him over somebody. And the issue with that is, how much more time? Like, you've got the same issue. How much more time is there left in his career?
And see, this is why I liked the Brothers of Destruction thing, the two of them doing tag team stuff against the Wyatts, because you didn't have to rely solely on Taker. You had to rely on both of them to work the matches, whether they're putting the Wyatt family over or whether they're getting over on the Wyatt family. What was the other thing I was going to bring up?
By the way, we haven't talked about Lesnar at all.
We'll get to Lesnar in a minute.
I know. I'm just saying that, like, in terms last year.
Oh, last year. Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, he's the beast. What more can be said?
I like Lesnar more than I thought I would, but I think the reason that is because I love Paul Heyman.
Yeah, Heyman's
Paul
been...
Heyman, I wish, would be my personal mouthpiece. If I ever run for office, I'm going to have him do all my speeches.
I swear they book Heyman better than most of their wrestlers.
Yeah, because Heyman can talk.
Yeah.
That was his way around the microphone.
I mean, Heyman is by far the best mic guy ever.
Yeah, without a doubt. I can't think of anybody who even comes close.
I mean, okay, if you're talking about, like, booking, you know, advocates, clients, agents, whatever, you know, people that represent the wrestlers, Heyman is by far the best. The only other person on a mic that I would put even... not higher or lower, but even with Heyman, is Mean Gene.
Oh, I was going to say, what about the Brain? Bobby Heenan was up there.
Bobby.
If we're going to go into wrestling talents, CM Punk is one of the best ever, too.
Okay, yeah, but I'm just saying,
anyway.
Behind, not actually, like, Heyman's not a wrestler.
No.
Mean Gene was not a wrestler. Well, I don't know if he was. I'm not looking at it. Anyway, but it's one of those things where the guys that are on the mics, you know, just absolutely. So yeah, Lesnar.
What do they do with him this year, by the way? He's another guy that I'm excited to see what they do with him.
Him versus Owens would be awesome.
That's one of the rumors going around, and you and I discussed this the other night about, well, who do you have win then? Because Owens has more time with the company, and he's actually going to be there week to week. And Lesnar... I don't know how, you know, does anyone, none of us know for sure what Lesnar's contract is or anything. So
I think he signed like 3 years for $2 million or something. It's six appearances a year.
See, this is why I don't think they ever televised it or anything like that. But this is why I like the whole idea of his Bring Me to Hell tour or whatever it was, because he could actually go out and do shows for them without needing to be on television.
And I think he's done a house show, like one or two of them, this past year, too.
They've brought him back a little bit more now, too, with all the injuries. And then I guess they're going to be doing more pay-per-views, network-only pay-per-views, which apparently he'll be on those as well. And...
All right, so lead up to Royal Rumble. It's going to be one versus all. Obviously, Triple H is out for... I haven't even looked at any news articles on how long Triple H is supposed to be out, but Vince is back. Vince has gotten Superman punched, like, I don't know, 10 times since he's been back.
I would never put a Hunter showing up and winning the Rumble somehow out of the equation, ever. Like, 50 years from now, if he's on a walker, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow he gets himself booked to win a Rumble.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Not a knock on the guy, I'm just saying, like, stuff like that tends to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I like this idea of the one versus all, and the fact that the championship is based around the Royal. Like, I think that's really cool because you don't need to have a separate. Oh, who's gonna have? Cause I'm so sick of Reigns versus Sheamus. I'm so fucking sick of that. I'm sick of Sheamus in general, but I'm just so sick of Sheamus versus Reigns. And I know it's a whole thing of, oh, who are they gonna get? Who are they? Reigns, this is why
Reigns just needs more development time too, and I don't think Sheamus is the guy to bring that out of him.
No, yeah.
You know, honestly, if Orton wasn't doing his media blitz for the Condemned 2,
he's also injured.
He's
recovering, and behind the scenes, supposedly behind the scenes, they're worried about whether or not he can come back full time. Period. Which is really unfortunate for the guy. Because, again, not one of my favorite guys, but I don't like to see anybody, you know, injured and not being able to do their job.
That's why I love him.
Yeah. The only other person, and I know you guys are going to groan when I say this, and I know it'll never happen because he's only agreed to do non-televised events now, but which sucks. The only other guy I would love to see come up against Reigns that isn't there right now is Batista. I know everyone hates the guy.
I wouldn't groan. I wouldn't have an issue. I do think one of the more interesting storylines emerging for Rumble is WWE supposedly signing all of the Bullet Club, which is AJ Styles and others. So I'm just thinking, like, how interesting would it be if suddenly, you know, the group of them are the last four or five guys. Well, depending on, I don't know exactly how many they've signed. But anyway, let's say let's just say four of them are the last four names picked for the Rumble, and they win. Like, that would be something nobody really sees coming and would be interesting, that suddenly you have this stable that's gained traction, and it's all veteran guys who can already work. Like, AJ Styles, I don't think there's much question about whether or not he can talk and work at this point in his career. So I don't know. Like, that's another thing that I'm excited for. I'm excited to see what they do with Lesnar. See if I get the Lesnar Owens matchup I want.
The Lesnar Owens. Yeah, that could be kind of. I don't know. I don't know how that match would work.
Also, side note: we're talking about surprises that could happen. Could you imagine if Daniel Bryan comes into the Rumble and wins it? That stadium
would give my left arm for that to happen.
Like, that stadium would self-detonate. Like, that would be something that would just be kind of neat from a... I know, you know, Mike, you're not a huge fan of them, but just from a exciting to watch people's reaction standpoint.
I mean, I like him. He's compared to the guys that are there now that I don't like, I like Daniel Bryan now. I didn't like Daniel Bryan when they were doing the whole joke Kane-Daniel Bryan team Hell No bullshit.
Oh, yeah, the Hell No bullshit.
or when they were doing the goat face bullshit. That's when I didn't like Bryan.
I thought it was funny that WWE is doing all this be a star, don't bully people. And then they're like, Daniel Bryan's such a nerd. I bet he's a virgin and has never touched a woman. Like, that's some great job. Great work, JBL. Thanks.
Wow, you could stand in for JBL, dude. Holy crap. this is why I know JR's never coming back. I know Michael Cole.
Thanks for depressing me.
Well, I'm just saying, like, this is why I miss, and this is why I like Ranallo at this point on SmackDown, is because you have Ranallo and King. I mean, it's almost like JR is there again. If you just get rid of Byron, it'd be all right. But it's just one of those things where, I don't know, like,
Well, you know
what? I would honestly take I would take Byron out completely of Raw, leave him on SmackDown so that he can just be buried between Ronaldo and Lawler, and bring Taz.
Taz is not bad, but he needs to bring a little bit more enthusiasm to it.
Well,
he's very like, vanilla.
Yeah,
being a black guy, he's very vanilla.
Ouch!
Or
you heard it first, folks. Okay, so. Like I said, take Byron off of Raw, put him on, bury him on SmackDown with that team, and just let Jerry and Ronaldo run over him, and bring Taz back. I miss Taz on commentary.
Except he's kind of gone nuts. If you listen to his podcast, I don't know if he's
really.
Yeah, I don't know if he's looking for ratings or what. But some of the stuff he said is kind of cuckoo. Okay. But oh well. I mean, you know what's funny is like you know talking about wrestling. Some of the most fun I have. In a month or whatever, and it's so silly. Like, let's be honest, a lot of the wrestling storylines are really dumb, and a lot of it's unrealistic because you know if you punched somebody in real life, you'd actually go to court. You're not allowed to just hit people to solve all your problems. But there's something about JR and his announcing, and this is why I bring this up. Yeah. JR just made all of it so much more fun, just because he was so over the top with everything. You know, everybody remembers him screaming like, by God, somebody stop the damn match and stuff like that. Like,
it was over the top, but it was never stupid like JBL. But
he had you enthralled. Like, yeah. You were hanging on the guy's words. He would paint a picture. And you talk about, like, I'm a huge sports fan, as both of you guys know, and the best football announcers, like your Cosells and some of the others, they would paint a picture of what was happening for you, and you could close your eyes and you could still kind of imagine the, you know, the carnage if it was JR, or you can imagine, you know, what's happening on the field or whatever. And they don't have anybody that does any of that anymore. The storyline gets told by the announcers, but it's never what's going on. They tell the storyline all right, but it's the behind-the-scenes storyline. Like, oh, there's Dean Ambrose is fighting Kane right now, but he really wants to get his hands on Kevin Owens. You know, last week he jumped Kevin Owens on Thursday Night SmackDown. You know, and then they spend 10 minutes talking about the previous show.
Yeah, and well this is why I like
And $9.99.
Yeah. Oh, thank God they stopped that bullshit.
Although, to be fair, the network is awesome. But anyway.
Yeah. You know, have you guys noticed on Raw recently, it's mainly Byron and JBL? Like, the only time I really notice Michael Cole anymore is when he's doing one of his signature catchphrases, or when he's doing that small talk during, like, you know, the like you were saying, Ryan, the recap kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't notice Michael Cole talking hardly at all during the actual matches anymore.
That's interesting, because I think you're completely right, and I hadn't noticed that.
And again, like I said, this is why I'm, you know, now that they brought Ronaldo in, and I've only seen, I think, whatever the most recent SmackDown is with him. I think it's the latest one with the new move to USA, so as of this recording. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I'm kind of leaning more towards SmackDown. Now, once Cena eventually comes back, obviously, I'm going to watch Raw for Cena, but it's just one of those things where...
Is that where they'll put him, though? Because I think there's a chance they make him the guy on SmackDown if they become concerned about ratings there.
Let me ask you guys, do you think they ought to bring back the draft?
Yeah, I miss when they were two separate shows.
Huh?
I miss when they were two separate shows.
I mean, it's... See, the thing with realizing that they're two separate shows is when they were on two competing networks. That's the thing. With SmackDown now being on USA... How much is that actually going to influence Raw and vice versa, and it's going to be just one big giant thing? Oh, God.
Well, the kind of glory years for Raw and SmackDown, SmackDown at one point, and people seem to have forgotten this, was the better show for a while. I remember way back when, it was when Heyman was writing all of SmackDown stuff, and he had Edge as his champion, that kind of thing. And for some time, I mean... SmackDown was the better show. It was the one you wanted to watch more.
The first year I started watching wrestling was 2014. And I remember SmackDown that year being really good.
Did you say 2014? That was last year.
It's 2016, Ryan.
Oh, 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
Whatever. Anyway.
I mean, I've been watching SmackDown off and on since
it
started way back when, but I've always been a Raw kind of guy because I liked, obviously, at the time, JR and King and whatever. Basically, wherever those two were and wherever, you know, once Cena got, you know, got introduced and whatever, basically, wherever those three people were, that's where I was watching. And now with Ambrose and Owens and all the, like, I mean, Ambrose, I can't wait to see what else that guy can do this year. I just, you know, we talked about at the end, the last episode we did, episode 5, at the end of it I teased that this year we're going to do a little bit more on the Mayhem Mike stuff, and we may go back and watch and review
I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because I was talking with Ryan about this the other night. I asked Ryan, where do I start watching old WCW stuff? Basically, when? And he was mentioning about doing the old NWO stuff. And I've been watching some Monday Night Nitros and some old Raws. And it's funny how you compare the old product to now. I would love to talk about the old stuff. Because I finally see what people saying. It was so much more exciting. Like, it's weird to see Jerry the King get out there with, like, Sable. Mm. She's, like, 95% naked. He's like, puppies! Every few seconds.
Well, there's stuff like that. But, I mean, in terms of the actual storyline, like, the whole NWO stuff and how it was marketed and pitched.
That was just genius.
There's that. And I mean,
the corporate rock and all that shit, yeah.
Yeah. Like, granted, some of that was WCW lucked into things a bit, too. Like, now, with the benefit of hindsight, because it didn't take them long to kind of screw it up. But you look at it now, and it's not just that it was interesting wrestling or interesting wrestlers. It was good storytelling, period. Like, I feel like that's why I'm kind of into wrestling still, even though it's considered sort of a kid's thing by a lot of people. It's a venue where you can tell a story and you get instant feedback from fans or people if your story is working and your characters are working. And if it's not, you know, they boo or they don't latch on to who you want them to. And that's why it's fun to me. It's instant feedback to your story. And I think basic storytelling works in wrestling. Like, a good story is a good story, period. Whether it be in a book, in wrestling, in comics, in a movie. And some of the storylines back then were just good and well done, period.
And the characters were interesting. Like, people like Mankind and, like, the whole Mick Foley thing, going back and watching The Rock's journey.
What was it? I just watched something with the Mankind character. Oh, my God, what was it? It was one of his appearances on TV. Oh, my God, what was it? There was something. I can't remember what it was. But what I was going to say was, when I was talking about Dean, two things that I teased at the last episode we did a few months ago was, I want to start doing the wrestling origin episodes where we talk about, have somebody come on and we ask them why they get into it, what they like, what they don't like, that kind of thing. The other thing was, we were going to maybe try and actually review the WWE studio movies. And I have finally seen 12 Rounds 3. And I need to see Dean do more action stuff, because I really dug him in that. I mean, don't get me wrong, folks. 12 Rounds 3, it's not bad, but it's not excellent. It's essentially copycatting and combining Training Day with Assault on Precinct 13.
Also, as far as story. This too, for the WWE movies, some of the action and the stunts aren't half bad. Like, you watch some of
They're pretty good.
You watch some of the other ones, like, shoot, I can't remember which one. One of the ones with Randy Orton stands out. And, you know, I'm not trying to...
Condemned or whatever it is?
No, that's the... No, that no. Was... You're thinking of 12 rounds... what was the... No, that was DiBiase that did 12 rounds too. What's the other one with Randy?
I don't know. Anyway, there was one of the ones with Randy I remember distinctly, though, and he throws a punch, and he misses the guy by a good foot. And of course, you know, he just pretends like it actually hit him, that kind of thing. Like, there was some shoddy stunt work and stuff in it. And they're slowly improving with that. And, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe they didn't want him to do a second take. I don't know.
There is one guy, and I never thought I'd actually say this. I like The Miz. I saw the movie Santa's Little Helper over the holidays. And you know what? When you put The Miz in the right situation, he's really funny. And I watched his Marine 3 and 4. I'm not saying he's the next Rock, because he can do comedy and action.
Yeah.
But The Miz has the possibility to be that direct-to-video WWE star who could be a mainstay. I think he's actually talented.
Yeah. It was. No, when I said DiBiase, I was thinking of the Marine 2. It was 12 rounds 2 that Randy's in.
Okay. Miz is one of the weirdest guys on the roster. He's a guy that when he's motivated, it seems like he can almost do anything.
Miz is a guy that they use for comp. Miz is, and I've always enjoyed Miz every now and then. Like I said, as long as he's not going up against somebody else I like more than him. But he's a guy that they've relegated to like a Santino kind of role, as far as he only comes out to do stuff again. Like the whole thing with Ryback and whoever the hell else it was. The whole thing with Sandow was fine, but there was something where it was the Miz. Oh, it was the Miz, Ryback, and the Big Show. And that's this was last year. This was for the Intercontinental Belt.
Oh, I remember that. That was retarded.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like they throw the Miz in the most retarded situations in the ring, or they just have him come out and do Miz TV and everything goes to hell. They're not you. Like, I remember when Miz was a damn good champion, when he was actually had, way back when, the Spinneroony belt on his waist. Like, he was a damn good champion. And think about this. The Miz originally started
on the real world,
saying he wanted to become WWE champion.
You know who's another guy I'd like to see get a little more airtime? I just don't think it's going to happen. And this was going to come out of left field for you guys, I think.
Uh-oh.
Zack Ryder.
God.
I listen to him on Twitter, and some of the appearances he'll do for WWE stuff, he's an excitable, fun kind of guy, and I wish they'd do more with him.
Can we agree that the best Twitter follow in all of the land right now is at WWE Subway, though?
What? I like the WWE writer's room or something like that. Sometimes you'll get some really good burns out of that one.
I don't know. WWE Subway is wonderful. Basically, they take videos and, like, it's Subway WWE Experience. But anyway, it's at WWE Subway. And anyway, they take, like, footage from wrestling and just add sort of, like, something from Subway.
Oh, my God.
That's weird.
It's amazing.
So I'm looking at the 12 Rounds 2 cast here, and I almost need to see this movie because it has Black Arachnia in a live-action role. It has Venus Terzo in the voice of Black Arachnia from Beast Wars in a live-action role.
Unless she says terrorize once, I'm not interested.
But 12 Rounds 3, even though, like I said, even though it essentially is combining the, you know, Training Day and Assault on Precinct 13, I really dug seeing Dean in an action movie. I would love to see what other things they put him in.
You know what I really want to see, and I just thought of this right now, and I'm so not serious when I say this. I want a Ryback cooking show.
Oh my God.
It's feeding time with Ryback.
Oh dear.
You know, that are they still doing the Slam City thing?
No, they stopped doing them. But they're supposed to be doing a Camp WWE, though.
God, that's where I can see the Ryback cooking show happening, is in Slam City, like in animation. I could so see that. That would be awesome.
There are two things that I want to talk about before we close this out. There are a couple of YouTube channels for some of the WWE people. Emma has a really good cooking show channel. She made, me and Blair tried this about a month ago, and Emma retweeted me, actually. She made peanut butter and jelly French toast and some other stuff. And I think it's like Taste of Tennille or something is her channel name. I'm not sure. Mike, you'll have to look it up. But another one is Xavier Woods' channel, where it's like all gameplay and all like super nerd stuff.
Up, up, down, down, yeah.
Yeah, like he's a really fun guy, and he's a genuine nerd. Like if like WWE comes back to Toronto, and I think it is in like a month or two, I may seriously try and get a hold of him. I would love to play 1 hour of D&D with Xavier Woods. And I kind of wonder if he might do it.
If he brings the trombone along, you have to call me.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, Brian, fly to Toronto now.
But see, that's the thing. Like, I don't mind Xavier as him, as a person, as himself, but his character. Oh, God.
See, I don't think
I am so happy. I was so happy when Jericho broke the trombone over his knee.
Michael, that was unconstitutional. I love his I love his antics. One of my favorite bits from last year with Xavier Woods is when he played the Final Fantasy Victory fanfare on the trombone. Nice. On
yeah, Raw. That was great.
I'm like, what the hell? It was so good. Like, say what you will about his in-ring ability, but
it's
as...
not about his. It's not about his ability or anything like that. It's just about his character.
See, that's what I love. I love his character because he's this obnoxious, stupid person. And he mm-hmm. works so well. But, yeah, but seriously, check out his stuff on YouTube, Emma's thing on YouTube. And one of the cool things I'm doing right now is I was actually talking with Diamond Dallas Page on Twitter the past day or two. I'm actually going to do DDP yoga. Because I've seen people that are my size, and they've lost, like, hundreds of pounds.
Hey, anything to get you healthy.
Hey, you know what? If I can get healthy doing diamond cutters on people,
I don't think that's part of the yoga.
Shut up, Brian. Let me dream. I don't think that's part of the...
All right, folks. So, we will be doing a Royal Rumble 1 episode this month, obviously. What? Let me look. Ryan, do you have anything you want to talk about really quick while I look something up?
The WWE Subway Twitter feed is amazing as I've flipped through it during the... No, anyway. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the Raw. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Rumble show. Part of that's because I'm looking forward to the Rumble for the first time in a while. Like, I haven't been all that excited about any of the pay-per-views or anything. Like the booking for, we talked about it a few times, the booking for TLC was super uninspired. This one I'm interested in. Like I say, I don't know what's going to happen in it. I feel like it'll be interesting at least, or at least I hope so. If they go the safe route, I'm going to be so ticked off though. Like if they just kind of pick everybody that we would kind of figure, that kind of thing, and just, if there are no surprises or anything, that would be kind of cripplingly disappointing.
Yeah. All right. So for January and February, January later this month, we've got Royal Rumble. February is Fastlane. I don't think there's going to be one in March because this says WrestleMania is in April. And then May is Payback. And then it skips down to August for SummerSlam. So who knows what the
heck's going to happen. I hope they bring back Elimination Chamber again. I love that pay-per-view.
But would they do that? You think they'll put that in March before WrestleMania, or you think they'll do that like in June or July?
I think they'll probably do it in June again, because I liked it how it was almost a new pay-per-view every 3 weeks for a while. It was a little intense.
Yeah.
But that's where we first saw Kevin Owens beat the shit out of Cena.
Well, they are planning to do more network pay-per-views this year, which I think is a really good idea.
I'm so hoping they do one of these things in Toronto, because I know there's WrestleMania.
Yeah, and that's big enough that Lesnar's going.
Wait, what, he's going to the one in Toronto?
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No, and I'm so going to talk to my wife about buying tickets tomorrow.
Breaking news for you, I guess.
Oh, please let me get seats. I'll bring my own. It's got wheels. Anyway.
We're also going to be doing, I think we're going to do double feature WWE film episodes, probably, where we talk about two movies per podcast, hopefully. And those will kind of be interspersed throughout the year. we're gonna start way back at the beginning with. Well,
I wish the original was the original Condemned a WWE movie, because that was dumb fun.
Yeah, well, it was the it was the last theatrical film as WWE films.
Yeah,
and then the first
Hulk
theatrical
Hogan one that I from way back when.
Please. Suburban Commando?
No,
I have a feeling he means. I have a feeling he means No Holds Barred with Zeus.
Yes, I want to talk about that.
That movie was terrible.
Oh, no, I'm talking about. Maybe we could do a movie we can review episode on that, which would be separate from Mayhem Mike's. I'm talking about the actual WWE films, the actual like the Marine, the Condemned, 12 Rounds, all that stuff.
All right, I'm down.
We can't talk about Hogan if we're doing WWE stuff anyway, since he's been, you know, scrubbed from existence for now. Side note, by the way, on Rumble, just a note, we're talking about, you know, SmackDown moving and scheduling and that kind of thing. Why have Rumble against the conference championship game in the NFL? What are you doing?
Well, doesn't that happen in the afternoon, though?
No. Wait another week. It starts at 6:40,
and that's fucked.
And by the way, it's the good game, like Cardinals Panthers. People have been waiting all year to see those two match up. Basically, like that's bad scheduling. Wait a week, like put it on the 31st.
They probably can't now because I've booked the venue. Probably have had it for like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, I know, but I mean, it's not like the NFL schedule changes. They knew there was going to be a conference game. Like, usually WWE is pretty good about scheduling their stuff differently. I know, obviously, like, Raw weekly is on a Monday night, but...
Yeah, but... Okay, but how many people, like...
If you're about to ask how many people watch football that would watch the pay-per-view... No. It's a lot. Like, look at the WWE ratings as soon as Monday Night Football's not on.
Right, yeah. But I'm saying, like, how many people are out there that are going to watch either or at the same time? Someone's usually just going to pick one or the other for the most part. Or in this day and age, someone will DVR. You don't even need to DVR anything with WWE.
Get it's on the network, yeah. Just right,
99.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe that's how they're pitching it. I mentioned this before, that they're going to do more events on the network. I don't know. Maybe they're just going to move away from the pay-per-view model, which I don't have a problem with. I love the network model. I wish more sports and sort of events would go to it. Like Dana White and UFC making fun of it and saying that, you know, we're going to stick to pay-per-view, I think it's an outdated business model.
And it's too expensive. Yeah, no one's going to pay $50 for UFC.
Isn't it like, depending on where you are too, I think it's like $60 now for some of these freaking pay-per-views. Like, no.
And even going to a bar to watch it, they charge you.
Yeah, there's a cover charge. And, you know, how much easier is it to pay your, you know, $9.99 a month and have your buddies over and sit and watch it? You know, it's...
Oh, God. So I'm looking through, like I was mentioning, we're going to do these WWE film reviews. And I wanted to look through what's coming up for WWE Studios in this year.
Oh.
They have got 9 different things supposedly coming up this year. Incarnate is going to feature Mark Henry.
Oh, man.
I'm not even clicking on it. I'll click on it later. Term Life is going to feature Chris Jericho.
Oh, geez, that could... all right.
Something called 642 is going to feature Dolph and Kane.
What?
Something called... Now, okay.
I hope that's a romance, by the way.
Hold on. I'll send you guys the links here. Here's Incarnate. And here's Term Life. You guys can look these up on your own. The next one... And there are no actual dates. It just says 2016 on these. The next one is called 642, like as in 6:42 a.m., features Dolph and Kane, like I said. Interrogation is supposed to be featuring Edge and Lana for some odd reason. Then you get Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery 2. WWE meets the Jetsons. Killing Hasselhoff is dead because of Hulk and his being fired. The Resurrection of Gavin Stone featuring Shawn Michaels. Eliminators featuring Bad News Barrett. The Fall Guy featuring The Rock. Now, this is TBC on it, so I'm not sure if that's
to be confirmed.
Yeah. And then Brother's Blood is supposed to feature R-Truth. Has R-Truth ever been in any?
Oh, boy.
I think him and Damian Sandow need to be in a remake of Lethal Weapon.
Oh, no, you did not just go there.
I want them in like a buddy cop comedy.
Oh my god, you did not just go there. He was in 2003's Head of State. He was in 2008's The Wrestler for R-Truth.
I need to watch that movie again.
By the way, if we're talking about wrestling movies, Resurrection of Jake the Snake, definitely looking forward to picking that up at some point. It just came out on video on demand on iTunes exclusively right now, anyway, on January 12th. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but definitely interested in that. You mentioned DDP as well. I mean, he's tied to that heavily, obviously.
Yeah. Very cool, very cool. All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Mayhem Mikes. We'll be back later this month with our review of the Royal Rumble. And then Fastlane in February, and then...
Oh, WrestleMania continues, boys!
Well, probably March, because according to what I've found, as of right now, there doesn't seem to be a pay-per-view in March, so probably March is when we might do a couple
if we do some vintage stuff.
Yeah, we could do some vintage stuff. I have to watch some of
it. Yeah, we'll figure it out before the next show, instead of talking about it for half an hour on the show.
True. All right. Where can the people find you online, Ryan?
Easiest is probably on Twitter with @Nightbeat, where I post sporadically and make snarky comments on occasion, especially about Michael Bay movies recently.
Oh, God. You guys have heard that Transformers song, right?
No, and I've also heard he's doing the fifth one, which really...
I'll have to find the Transformers song thing. Anyway, Mike, where can they find you?
Of course, you can find me and Ryan over at thisweekingeek.net for the month of January. We're going to be doing a tribute show to Alan Rickman due to his unfortunate passing from cancer in the last little bits. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, @BirdmanDodd. I'm always around.
All right, you can find me on Twitter @TFGandMike. You can also follow @GeekCastRadio on Twitter as well. That's it, folks. We will catch you at the Rumble.
Ah, is Jabico!
Yeah.
From the many, one will rise. 30 superstars, one monumental task. Outlast 29 others. Carve your destiny. And for the first time in WWE history, it's one versus all, as WWE World Heavyweight Champion Roman Reigns is forced to defend his title in the Royal Rumble match. WWE Royal Rumble. For new subscribers only, WWE Royal Rumble is free. Only on WWE Network.